We have been studying the Gospel of John, which I have enjoyed thoroughly. Have you enjoyed that? Yes. Verse by verse. And we're going to continue that next week. I want to deviate this morning. The Lord has put something on my heart. I feel like I've been arrested by the Holy Spirit. And I want to share it with you. Amen. Proverbs chapter 3. Turn there in your Bible. As you're turning, I want to announce to you, I don't think anybody said anything about these sign me up cards. If you see these in the chair in front of you, what they are, it says, I am a willing vessel. These are beautiful cards, by the way. And on the back, it says, ways to connect. So they've created these for you. If you want to get involved in anything, which I encourage you to do something for the kingdom of God. Amen. Instead of just showing up, let's put our hands to the plow and work for the kingdom. All right, so you'll see on there nursery, greeting, hospitality, media, sound, parking, worship, cleaning, security, landscaping. You'll see all that. Circle one of those, put your name and number on it. Somebody will contact you from one of these ministries, all right, and get you plugged in. Everybody in here is called to do something. You're called to do something, and you can put your hand in something to benefit God's kingdom. You believe that? Amen. You are worthy. Don't have this mentality, I'm not worthy. You are worthy because he made you worthy. Has nothing to do with you, but it has everything to do with Christ, the Holy Spirit in you. He's made you worthy and fit for the kingdom. That's why he says the kingdom of God is within you, and he wants to draw it out of you and use your gifts and abilities for his glory. Proverbs chapter 3. They may have it on the screen there. You like these? I can't see it. Yeah, look there. Verse 5. Y'all know these verses. Amen. I don't know if I like this or not. Y'all might not bring your Bible anymore. Hey, praise God. All right. Proverbs chapter 3. Look at verse 5. We know this one, don't we? Trust. Everybody shout it. In the Lord with all your heart, and lean not unto your own understanding. Now, we quote that all the time, but do you really see that in the scriptures? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding, and all of your ways acknowledge him, and he shall, or am I reading that right? He might direct. He shall direct your paths. This has been a tough week. This has been a tough week for this church. It's been a tough week for families that are involved in this congregation. We have everything from people on life support, ventilators, death, drug overdose, wounded, and hurt. A lot of hurting people, folks. Anxieties, depression, wanting to quit. And we tend to have this idea that if we have faith, that stuff should not be existent in our lives. But I'm here to tell you, if the Bible says anything, it's the exact opposite. It's the exact opposite. So what we tend to do is try to understand why we're in the circumstances that we're in. And everybody has Job's friends, right? Who says, well, this is why you're going through this. If you wouldn't have done that, or if you wouldn't have said this, or if you wouldn't have went there, you wouldn't be dealing with what you're dealing with. When all the while, nobody has a clue what's going on in your life and in your heart. That's why I don't preach on gossip too much, because life will preach gossip right out of people. Because they'll end up experiencing something that they talked about somebody for or judged them against. Right? And they'll take that little finger and curl it right back and put it in their pocket. Life will preach gossip right out of you. You just keep living because it's coming. If you've never had a trial, if you've never had a test, if you've never had a heartache, it's coming. It's just right around the corner. So he says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. That's a hard thing, isn't it? I think about Romans 11:33 that says, oh, the depth and the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, whose judgments are unsearchable and his ways past finding out. I like Deuteronomy 29:29. The secret things, shout secret things, belong to God. But the things which are revealed belong to us and to our children. Isaiah 55, the prophet declared, his thoughts are not our thoughts, and his ways are high above our ways. And I ring the words of Proverbs this morning, trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not to your own understanding. Can I tell you that there will be circumstances in your life and you will not understand why you can't feel God's presence. You won't understand why you feel like you're in a dry and thirsty place and you can't seem to move forward. You will get to a place in your life where you will feel that you are overcome by the weight of this world. Many of you are there this morning. And he says, don't try to understand it. Don't try to make sense of it. Don't try to put a don't put an equation to your problem. This plus this equals that. If I would have done this different, or if I would have said something better, or if I had went about it in a different way. But the reality is, it's called life. L-I-F-E. And everybody lives in this thing called life. And you're going to have circumstances. We know by faith that we are healed by the stripes of our Lord Jesus Christ. Yet people get sick and people die. We know that we are saved, born again. But there are many times you may not feel like you're saved or born again. We know that we have the joy of the Lord and it is our strength. But you're not always walking around with a smile on your face, are you? That's because you live in this thing called life. I want to go to one of my favorite passages, Daniel chapter 3. You ready for this? I'm about to unload on you. I'm ready. Daniel chapter 3. Hallelujah. Shout, I don't need to understand. Daniel chapter 3. We're going to look at verse 8. I love this. Now, in Daniel chapter 3, we have a story of three Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who King Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, had taken the Israelites and the young, smart Jewish men captive in Babylon. Now, Nebuchadnezzar is a type of the Antichrist because Nebuchadnezzar erects a statue of himself. And he says, you must worship me and worship this statue. That's the same thing the Antichrist is going to do during the time of tribulation. And he's going to do it to the Hebrews, the Jewish people. So we have a type and shadow there. But I want to get something a little deeper. Daniel chapter 3 and verse 8, the story continues. Therefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans came forward and accused the Jews. There's always an accuser, isn't there? They spoke and said to King Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. You, O king, have made a decree that everyone who hears the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, and psaltery, and symphony with all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the gold image. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. There's always an accuser. Always. So these three Hebrew boys are minding their own business. They're praying. They're serving their God, Jehovah God. And here's this king, Nebuchadnezzar, erecting a statue of himself because of pride that has swelled up in his heart. And he wants the whole, he wants everybody to fall down on their knees at the sound of the music and worship this image. And that yet there's some who stand to their feet and declare that they won't do it. And there's people who accuse them and say they're not doing what they're supposed to do. You know the word devil, the name devil means accuser, because he's the accuser of the brethren. He's the one that condemns you because you haven't been called to condemnation. God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. But he brings condemnation to your life. He brings accusations. He says you'll never be good enough. You can't do this because of the mistake you made in your past. Your children can't be free because of the mistakes you made in your past. He will tell you lie after lie after lie. I had a lady, but you know what the good news about that is? Everything he tells you is a lie. So you can believe the exact opposite of it. I had a lady come to me one time and she says, Pastor, I don't feel like I'm saved. The devil's telling me this. I said, you sure it's the devil? She says, I'm absolutely positive. I said, hallelujah! I said, because everything he tells you, you can believe the exact opposite of it. You can declare unto him, I am the righteousness of God in Christ. When he tells you and accuses you that you're depressed and anxious and fearful, you just say, I don't have the spirit of fear, but power and love and a sound mind. Don't believe the accusations of the enemy because it's all a lie. Shout, it's a lie. Verse 12, there are certain Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Oh, hallelujah. Anybody having kids soon? Good names right here. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not paid due regard to you. They do not serve your gods or worship the gold image which you have set up. Verse 13, this jumped all over me, folks. Listen, then Nebuchadnezzar, in a rage and fury, gave the command to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So they brought these men before the king. You know, the enemy doesn't like it when you're doing something for God. Anytime you take a stand for righteousness, anytime you stand up and square your shoulders like a T-rail and say, I'm going to serve God and live for him, and I give him my life this very day, the enemy gets in a rage and in a fury, just like King Nebuchadnezzar. You know why he gets angry? Because he's no longer in control. And there's just certain people who, when they're not in control, they get absolutely furious and frustrated. And you can tell it. You know that. But let me tell you something. That's the way the enemy is, you see. He gets angry and he gets upset because you're not giving in to his temptations and his trials and the fiery trial which is to try you. So he just continues to come after you. The enemy's angry, folks. You don't think he's angry about this body of believers? You don't think he's angry about what we're doing in this community? There's a reason I have people following me and my family around. If I can only tell you some of the things that we see in here, if you only could see some of the things that go on throughout the week with this building project, just this week that the enemy has raised his ugly head. But that's all right, because every time he does, I remind myself, you know what? We're on the right track, and he's angry, and I want him to be angry. I want to be on hell's hit list. I want him to know who Willing Vessels Christian Center is, and that's a good thing. But even better than that, greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world. So if he's attacking you, if he's attacking your family, if he's coming against you, just lift up your hands and give him a crazy praise and shout with the voice of triumph, because you are victorious. I'm absolutely fine with it. Bring it on. Shout it. Bring it on. Hey, I love a good fight, don't you? All right. Hallelujah. Verse 14, Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying to them, it is true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the gold image which I have set up. Now, if you are ready at the time, you hear the sound of the music in so many words, he says, you'll worship me. Notice at the end of verse 15, he says, and who is the God who will deliver you from my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered, said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. Now, these next two verses are probably my two favorite verses of all the Bible. Because if anything speaks of true faith, now I know TV preachers will tell you that you can have health, wealth, prosperity, the Bentley and the golden toilet too. Amen. I know this feel. And if you have faith, well, tragedy doesn't come to your life because you're above that. And you don't have to, you ever heard anybody say that? We don't have to accept that. Oh, really? Well, what if God's doing it? What if the Holy Spirit leads you into a dry place? You don't think he will? You want Bible for that? Sure, I'm glad you asked. Matthew chapter 4, the Bible says that the Spirit led Jesus into the desert to be tempted and tried. So here we have these three Hebrew men. Verse 17. I love this. They're making a positive confession here. They're declaring the word. They're declaring their faith. If that is true, if that is the case, our God, whom we serve, he is able, shout, he's able, to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. He's able to heal you. He's able to deliver you. He's able to set you free from demonic attack. In fact, the Bible says, Ephesians 3:20, that he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or even imagine. And he says, he's able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and if he will deliver us from your hand, O king. Notice that they says, he will do it. And I've heard this preached, but they always stop there. But the three words I want you to get today. You want to see what true faith is? You ready for this? Yes. But if not. How about that? But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up. Everybody say, but if not. Can I tell you something? This is where you need to get in your faith. This should be the goal in your life. I think oftentimes we're trying to get out of things that God's put us in. I believe that. And I'm not saying I believe he's made you sick, but I do believe he uses circumstances to mold and shape your very character. That's why the Bible says tribulation works patience, patience experience, experience hope. Hope makes not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. How can you have experience and hope unless you've went through some trials and tribulations? How can you have a testimony without a test? But you see, we come to the place where we don't understand why. And that's where we get confused. Why am I facing this? Why can't I get victory over this? Why can't I get past this? Why can't I just be happy? Why can't I just have somebody that loves me? Why can't I just get here in my life, get there in my career? Why can't my finances just come to this head right here and I'll be free? But what if they don't? Why can't I just be healed of this disease? What if you're not? Because the ultimate fulfillment of all of that, listen to this preacher today, is when the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be called up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. 1 John 3:2, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Hallelujah. Oh, you're facing the trial of your life. Your kids are acting crazy. Your spouse has lost his mind. You don't know what's going to happen on your job. Your marriage is falling apart. Your finances are in the tubes. But let me tell you, my friend, he is a deliverer. He is able to bring you out and set you up. But even if he doesn't, he's still good and he's still God. It doesn't matter what the enemy says. It doesn't matter what the doctor's report declares. It doesn't matter what the bank account says. You already win. And if God is for you, tell me this morning, who can be against you? But even if he doesn't, oh, hallelujah. You know, one day this earth is going to pass away. Fire will destroy this earth. It will renovate it by fire. Hallelujah. And the heavens are going to roll back like a scroll. But can I tell you, even when that happens, the word of God will stand forever. The glass will wither and the flowers going to fade away. But his word will stand true till the very end, because he's God and he's declared it. And he's God who cannot lie. Somebody just shout, I win. No matter what. We're not leaning to our own understanding. We're going to trust God, even if we've got to walk through the fire. Verse 19. Oh, God, I love that. Oh, hallelujah. But if not, I can't get away from it. Listen, I've made up my mind, folks. I'm not turning back. I'm not turning around. He's getting my whole life. And that's the place you have to get to, you see. When you see everybody around you crumbling and falling, and you see them falling on your right and you see them falling on your left. When I see ministers chasing after some young thing, leaving their wives, I determine in my heart that I will not be the one to do it. I will stand the test of time. I will stand through trial and temptation. I will not bring a reproach upon God, because his word is true. Shout, it's not all about me. Because if you fall, other people fall. I fall, you're all in trouble. You fall, your family's in trouble. Shout, yes. Verse 19. Then Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury, and the expression on his face changed towards Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He spoke and commanded that they heat the furnace 7 times. Shout, 7. Now, there's some significance here. Go to Matthew chapter 12. Stay where you're at. He'll bring it up here. Let's see how good he is. Matthew chapter 12. Hey, how about that? He's hired. Give Travis a hand back there. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 12, verse 43. When an unclean spirit, these are the words of Christ, goes out of a man, he goes through dry places, shout dry places, seeking rest and finds none. Then he says, I will return to my house from which I came. Now listen, you are in a fight. You feel that? You feel that thing called spiritual warfare? That's principalities and powers and rulers and dominions of which you have no idea the strength and the capabilities of what they can do in your life. And they have one mission and one goal, and that's to kill, steal, and destroy your life, your soul, your family. That's their mission. They have no regret. They have no shame. And they will take you out with an ingrown toenail if they could. You're fighting, you see. You're fighting. Have you, and I know you'll recognize this. Think about your life. You go through seasons. I've seen some of you go through them already. I've been here a year in February. You go through times where you're good. Then you go through times when you're not so good. You go through times when finances are great. Then they're not so great. You go through times where peace is in your heart and joy is on your face. And then you go through times where you can't find an ounce of strength and peace and joy. It's called seasons. Because what happens is the Lord gives you victory for seasons. Even the Bible says when Jesus was tempted that they left him for a season. But they're coming back. There's always a counterattack. There's always a sneak attack from the enemy. He'll slide in, and you won't even recognize him coming. But he's coming. So Jesus is talking about those seasons. He's talking about when an unclean spirit goes out or goes away from a person. Here's what they do. They say, I will return from the house from which I came. This is the demonic forces talking. And when he comes, he finds it empty, swept, and put in order. Verse 45. Then he goes and takes with him. Shout seven. Seven other spirits. Seven is the number of completion. So King Nebuchadnezzar wants to turn this thing up seven times hotter. He wants to fully complete his mission. He wants to annihilate these three Hebrew men. He wants to take their lives because he's furious. Seven times hotter. So here Jesus says, then he takes with him seven other spirits, more wicked than himself. And that's why, listen to me this morning. If God has delivered you from something in your past, do not, I beg you, do not go back to it. Because if you go back, you're returning to the mud from which he's pulled you out of. You're returning back to the vomit of which he pulled out of you. And the Bible says you're in a worse state than you were in before. You know why? Because there's seven stronger spirits than that one you were dealing with before. Oh, I love this. You ready? The state of that man is worse than the first. So shall it also be with this wicked generation. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 7. Hallelujah. Deuteronomy 28, verse 7. Does he have it? Yes, he does. All right. Here we go. The Lord, listen. The Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before your face. And they shall come out against you one way and flee before you. Somebody shouted at me. Oh, I love that. You know why the Lord said that in the Old Testament? He knows how these spirits work. He knows how they come against you. And when they leave you for a season, they're coming back with seven stronger than they are. But that means you're getting a seven times greater anointing. So with, oh, hallelujah. We were talking about it. Sandy said new levels, new devils. But with those new levels, there's a new anointing. There's new protection. There's new power. And he who has delivered you from the power of darkness and has translated you into the kingdom of his dear son, in whom you have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. He comes at you seven ways, but guess what? You have a seven times greater anointing, and he's got to flee seven more ways from that one. Shall I got a seven times greater anointing. I tell you not to speak in tongues without an interpreter, but my God, I'm wanting to speak in tongues right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Shout, I got a seven times greater. All right, verse 20, Daniel chapter 3. Let's go back. You want me to quit? All right, verse 20. And he commanded certain mighty men of valor who were in his army to bind. Shout, bind. You see, when it comes to binding and loosing, in Matthew 16, 19, Jesus said, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. What does that mean? We have the authority and the power to bind and loose. So just as they had the authority to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego with ropes tied to their wrists and their feet, just like they were able to do that in the new covenant now, we have the power and the ability to reverse that on the enemy and bind him. So what are you doing? You're binding devils and you're loosing saints. You're not loosing blessings. I hear people say, loose blessings. No, you're loosing them from the hold of the enemy. Oh, hallelujah. So when you pray for somebody, you say, I bind that devil right now. I bind him right in this place. In fact, I tell you to raise your voice. Many people rebuke the devil and tell him to leave. I tell you to speak forward because you have no authority here. I don't want you to be quiet. I want you to talk to me so I can get rid of you. So we bind him and we loose the saints of God. Shout, I can do it. You can do it in your own life. Verse 21, then these men were, and that's another thing. Listen, you can do it. Don't call me at 3 a.m. wanting to rebuke the devil out of somebody. My God, take the authority over that thing yourself. You have it. And you can do it. Verse 22. Hallelujah. Verse 21. Then these men were bound in their coats, their trousers, their turbans, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Now you need to understand this. They just weren't tied at the hands and feet. They were tied. Their whole body was tied. Every part of their body. Tied in ropes. Oh, I love this. I'm about to tear this pulpit up, I think. All right, verse 22. Therefore, because the king commanded, or command was urgent, and the furnace exceedingly hot, the flame of the fire killed those men who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So think about that. These men, these guards that are throwing these boys into the fire, die by the very fire they turned up. Think about that. That's just like demonic spirits. They're bound by the very thing they're trying to pull you in. People do that. Misery loves company. They want to pull you into their mess so they're not alone, so that you can be in bondage too. And that's exactly what the enemy does. He knows his destiny. He knows where he's going. He knows his final outcome. And he wants you to be a part of that. But aren't you glad this morning? Oh, hallelujah. That on the third day he kicked out the borrowed tomb of Joseph of Arimathea. He made a 6-lane highway to the New Jerusalem. Hallelujah. Now we have a highway called holiness. And there's still a cross that bleeds and a Savior that still saves. Oh, hallelujah. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, verse 23, fell down, bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. So he didn't deliver them from it. He delivered them in it. Big difference there. I hear people say all the time, well, the Lord's not going to give me anything I can't handle. Really? So do you think when somebody loses a child, they're equipped to handle that? The answer is no. Listen, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10:13, there is no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. God is faithful. And he will not allow you to be tested above that which you are able, but will with the temptation provide a way of escape. But we stop there. That's not the end of the verse. We stop there and we say, well, I'll be able to escape that because I can't go through that. He knows that. But that's not what the Bible says. The very last part of that verse says that you might be able to bear it. That's your way of escape. Him giving you the strength and the power to walk. Shout, I have a passing through anointing. Listen, suffering is a part of life. You might as well get used to it. You need to quit walking around saying, I don't accept it. You just need to say, Lord, I trust you. I don't lean to my own understanding. You are good and you are God. I win. My faith is in you. That needs to be your response. Not, I don't accept this. Because listen, the Bible talks about fiery trials. 1 Peter 1 verse 7, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried by fire, might be found unto praise, honor, and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 4, 12, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing has happened unto you. It's a common, normal thing for you who is a believer in Jesus Christ. Job said in Job 14 verse 1, man's days are few and full of trouble. Psalm 39 4 says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers out of them all. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. How about Philippians 1:29? I'm sure that's one we've got outlined in our Bible. For it is given unto you in behalf of Christ not only to believe on his name, but also to suffer for his sake. How about Philippians 3:10, when the Apostle Paul says, I want to know Jesus Christ. I want to know him in the power of his resurrection. And we shout about that. But then he goes on to say, and in the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Not only do I want to know him in the power of his resurrection, but I want to know what it's like to suffer with him. I want to know what it's like to die with him. I want to know what it's like to reign with him and be with him for all it. That's what he said. Fiery trial. Some of you are in them today. A fiery trial. Verse 24, we're not done. Then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished, and he rose in haste and spoke, saying to his counselors, did we not cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? Boy, I love this. They answered and said to the king, true, O king, yes, you did. But he said, look, I see four men. Can I tell you this morning, he's still in the fire? Oh, hallelujah. He's still there when you walk through it, when you're bound in the fire of adversity and trial and testing and temptation and uncertainty, and you don't know what tomorrow brings. He's still walking in the fire with you. Notice what he says. He says they're walking in there loose. Oh, you miss that, don't you? So they went in bound, but they were in there loose. So the thing that had them bound, the fire that was to destroy their life, was the same fire that set them free. Can I tell you that your trial is not just for you? It's for a lot of people. You never know who you have to minister to and who you have to talk to. You never know who you're going to bring to Jesus Christ. And the fiery trial that you're walking through, he's already set you free. You already dwell in heavenly places. You're already saved, healed, and sanctified, sealed with the Holy Spirit. But he's doing it for somebody else. Shout, it's not all about me. He's still in the fire. Verse 26, and Nebuchadnezzar went near the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spoke, saying, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out. You know, I want to go back just a second. Even King Nebuchadnezzar, listen, was used by God. He was used by God to oppress a nation. He was used by God to throw these Hebrews into the fiery furnace. Just like he uses your boss. That's right. He uses them for his glory. So King Nebuchadnezzar looks in this fiery furnace and he says there's four walking in there, and that fourth man looks like a son of the gods. That's what the translation says. If you look in the Hebrew, sons, one of the son of the gods. He was a deist. He was pluralistic. He believed in many gods. But under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit spoke through him on that day and said, there's one who looks like the son. Oh, hallelujah. You realize Jesus has been there. He's always been there, and he will always be right there. He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. It was Jesus in the beginning. It was Jesus in the fire. And on the day of judgment, it'll be Jesus sitting on a scepter full of power, might, and dominion. And he abides in you. Oh, hallelujah. All right. Go to verse 27. And the strap and the satraps, administrators, governors, and the king's counselors gathered together. They saw these men on whose bodies the fire had no power. Oh, hallelujah. I could preach right there. Had no power over them. Shout, I've got the power. Yes, you do. And the hair of their head was not singed, nor were their garments affected, and the smell of fire was not on them. That's why he says the trial of your faith, you come forth like pure gold. So when you go through a trial of adversity, what that's doing is it's building your character so that when you come out, the next time you go through it, you already know and have the hope and the faith and the zeal, knowing that you're coming out of it. Say, I've been through that before. Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Who sent? Listen, that's a word for somebody. You've been through this before. You have. You've been anxious before. You've been stressed before. You thought you were going to have a nervous breakdown before. But he brought you through that fire. He held your mind together. He kept you in perfect peace because your mind was upon him. And he'll do it again. Isaiah 43 verse 2, when you pass through the waters, they will not overflow you. When you pass through the fire, they shall not burn you, and the fire shall not kindle against you. Say, I have a passing through anointing. All right, I'm going to close here. So King Nebuchadnezzar makes a decree that all will serve the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. What I'm telling you is that it's not all about you. So they went through the fire so that they could bring a king and a nation to the one true God. Verse 30, then the king promoted, shout, I'm promoted. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Listen, people want to be anointed, but they never want to pay the price for that anointing. I have people come up to me when I preach sometimes. They'll say, pray for me that I can receive your anointing. I said, okay, you want to go through this, that, and go through that trial, go through this test, do that. No, I just want to be anointed. It costs you something. Anointing oil wasn't created until that olive was crushed. There takes a crushing that produces the anointing. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. I want you to read it. I know you know it, but I want you to go to it. If you never memorize one verse, memorize Romans chapter 8, verse 28. I feel the Lord in this place. Amen. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him. He will direct your paths. That's right. We don't understand what's going on, but we trust him, don't we? Amen. You're walking through the fire of affliction, but you're coming out. Amen. But even if it's not the way you expect it, you still win. Amen. Everybody say, but if not. He's still God. And he's still good. Romans 8, 28. I love this. And we know that all things work together for the good to them who are the called according to his purpose. Listen, today, this morning, he's working out everything in your life, even the stupidity, even the mistakes that you've made. Listen to me. He's working them out for your good. Amen. Because he is good. Amen. And he has a plan for your life. You don't understand it. Don't try. Just trust him. Amen. Only trust him. And he will direct your paths. You believe it? Stand to your feet. Now, anybody that feels the same way I do, maybe you're going through a trial of your life. You don't understand it. You don't know why. But I want you to join me in this altar this morning, and I just want to worship the Lord with you. Come on up. Don't hesitate. Listen. the trial of your life, adversity, marital struggles, finances, the enemy raising his head where it doesn't need to be. We're going to worship the Lord together. If you're in this place, I want to appeal to the camera. Those watching by internet, listening by podcast around the world, listen. You're just going through the fire of adversity. God is calling you. He's calling you to a place in the heavenlies with Him. Confess your sin today and receive Christ and confess Him as Lord of your life, and you shall be saved. God bless you.